Sí. Matthew, who do you think? Who should we get to play Samson? Muhammad Ali, okay. Muhammad Ali, the boxer. Did you say The Rock? Dwayne Johnson? Muhammad Ali, Dwayne Johnson? Great, or Chris Evans, Captain America? Chris Hemsworth? I don't think so. Yes, exactly. Well, that's what I was talking about. I think we should get a skinny guy. One of the Jonas Brothers. Going to get Samuel. But that kid who played Harry Potter. He's just short. Samson, I mean, he picked up a 2-ton city gate, carried 40 miles in one night. That is not a muscle. At all. We have no reason to suspect that he was necessarily a muscular guy. In fact, it says that when, after his head was shaved, it said Delilah herself began to torment him. She began to torment him with a straight letter. It sounded like Delilah, but even was wrong. His strength was obviously, clearly from God. But he had forgotten this. He started playing with danger, and he finally said, shake my head up. My strength is my own. My strength is the Bible wanted to boast in Samson's weakness. It said, this comes from God, not from this man. He had forgotten. He forgot to boast in his weakness. And Israel is a country. That was their big, big problem. That is what they failed to do. That's why these disasters happened to them. They would not testify to God's greatness. They weren't boasting in their weakness. They weren't saying, we were slaves. We were helpless slaves. God delivered us. God told them, testify these things. When your son asks you, what's the meaning of these laws? What's the meaning of this festival? All of them. God's mercy and his grace to be in them. We want to boast in our weaknesses. Someone made a movie. We're going to make a movie of your life. What would you want to get to the point of weakness? You tell the story of your life. You're going to make yourself look like a real smart person, a nice person. Maybe I should get Tom Hanks. Some weak, corrupt, very unattractive. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weakness, that the power of Christ may rest on me at all times. That's how we point to Jesus. And when you get to the New Testament, Samson is not listed with faithless leaders like King Saul or King Amos. He is listed with some of the heroes of Abraham, Moses, in his weakness, among those who Hebrews 11 said were made strong. So his greater sin was definitely sinning by indulging the sexual desires, but his greater sin was behind that. It's not boasting in God, not trusting in God. So let's look at how he was made strong, why the Bible boasts in his weakness. Let's look at how this happened. I just want to ask the question, how does Samson point to Jesus? How does he point us to Jesus? And the first thing was that when he was defeated alone, he entrusted himself to God. He's completely alone in prison. There's not going to be what he had done, he did completely alone. beginning of the book of Judges, you had Othniel and Ehud. They rallied all of Israel to fight with them. We saw Deborah and Barak. They got two whole tribes to fight with. We saw Gideon. He started with 32,000 men. God, in order to boast in God's strength rather than their own, he welcomed them down to 300. Now Samson is here, and he is completely alone. Even Jephthah had his own band of men. And Samson judged Israel for 20 years. He did it alone. We have no record of any priests, Levites, anybody counseling him, advising him, admonishing him, anything. He was by himself. He was betrayed by his own friends. Remember in chapter 15, earlier, we saw his best man marrying his fiance. And then at one point, he killed several hundred men. And the Israelites themselves, they handed Samson over. They said, well, why don't you leave him over? You're on your own. They didn't help him. They weren't crying to God. They weren't interested in being free from the Philistines. Here in chapter 16, they hand him over again. You see Delilah in peace and rapture. She betrays him. He practically dares them to shave his head. He's thinking of himself. He's not just toying around with him. He's not just indulging in lust, but he's indulging in pride. That's the danger. It's closer and closer. Finally, they shave his head. And now he is rejected. He's defeated. He's been tortured, eyes gouged out. He's put on public display. He is an absolute do you think God can meet you there? Who else do we know in the Bible who was betrayed by a friend, completely abandoned, rejected, captured, beaten, tortured, and hung up in public display? Think God can meet Samson. For the second time, the second only two times we know of, we hear Samson pray. The first time he prayed is after he killed 1,000 men, he's thirsty, he complained, he said, your servant has done this great thing, you know, let me die first, in the sense of entitlement towards God. He doesn't feel so entitled. He doesn't come complaining. He could just curse God and die. Just forget it, I'm sick of it. I don't want to fight anymore for people who don't care anymore. People who aren't even crying to God. He doesn't feel bitter. He's not angry at God. He recognizes, he knows he's a father. So he turns, oh Lord, please remember me. Please strengthen me only this once, O God, that I may be avenged on the Philistines for my two lives. On the one hand, he wants vengeance for himself. Thank God's not my eyes. He's very upset about it. But he's also recognizing that if there's vengeance, it's going to be God who does it. God who says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. So he does humble himself and say, God, remember me. There's going to be vengeance. It's going to be God's. Remember another time when someone who had previously cursed Christ and mocked him had a change of heart? But Jesus, remember me. He said to him, at the absolute darkest point of his life, Jesus said to him, hey, you will be in paradise. And when Samson prays here, God makes him, God answers the prayer, makes him stronger than ever before. Therefore, boast all of our battle, my weaknesses, to the power of Christ be rested on me. I will boast in Samson's weaknesses, you and I will boast in our weakness. We remain strong. Hopefully you haven't been here yet. You haven't been to rock bottom. Maybe you don't necessarily need to hear this message. Someday you might be rock bottom. And listen, you might know some other people who need to hear this message. You need to hear God will forgive no matter how sinful you've been. If you let him, he will forgive you. Let me give you an example. You tell people this even if they don't want to hear it. You proclaim it. Even if they're not interested, you tell them anyway. I remember hearing Bill Bright talking about sharing the gospel. He shared a tract with a football player on a college campus. He said, "Can I tell you how you can have a personal relationship with God?" And the guy said, "I'm not interested." Bill Bright said, "I'm going to tell you anything." And the guy prayed to receive Christ. I'll tell you about another man named Jimmy McPhee. Jimmy McPhee, at the age of 20, was put on death row. Committed armed robbery, shot one man to death, wounded another man, put on trial, and put him on death row. 20 years old. And his response was to create a war against the world. He was full of hatred. He was full of anger. Was going to go out full of pain. So the second day on death row, the prison librarian came by. So it was a little Japanese man. "My name is Frankie Summer. I love you from Jesus' words. He doesn't care what crimes you commit. He will forgive you if you let him." Jimmy said, "I listen politely. I care nothing about my life, another's life, or God I couldn't see. I was too blinded. Rage." He was particularly full of rage. His mother had abandoned him for drugs. He was a young woman. So he listened to this guy, heard this guy, Frankie Summer, and he didn't drink. And then a couple years later, he was changed from death row. They put him into a life sentence. And after 7 years, he stabbed another inmate, then they put him in solitary confinement for the rest of his life. Solitary confinement. I can't imagine. He got to solitary confinement. This was, by this time, he was age 40. This was 20 years later. 20 years in prison. He's in solitary confinement, and he remembers what Frankie's son said to him. And he decides to write Frankie's son a letter. Frankie wrote back and shared the same words he had spoken to myself 20 years earlier. "I love you. Jesus Christ loves you. He doesn't care what crimes you commit. He will forgive you if you let him. Give all your pain, anger, and brokenness to God. He will heal you." For the first time since I was a little boy, he settled over my soul. I knew I'd never be alone again. I began to read the Bible over and over, the word of truth spoke to me. Spent the next 7 years in solitary confinement reading his Bible. Then they decided to release him again in prison population. He started mentoring men. He started discipling men. He got a Bible certificate. And then, at the age of 65, there he is. Jeremiah and I heard his testimony last week. Last March, they left. He spends the rest of his life, he's mentoring other prisoners. And I tell that whole story to remind you, we tell people, 20 years after Frankie's son told this man that God loved him, remember that. We want to proclaim this. We want to proclaim that loud and clear. Whether people listen or not, here's how King David prayed. "With my voice, I cry out to the Lord. With my voice, I plead for mercy to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before him. I tell him my trouble before him. refuge remains to me. No one cares for my soul. I cry to you, O Lord. I say, you are my refuge. My portion in the land. King David prayed that. Samson prayed that. And they were all alone. Boast all the more gladly than my weakness. Nothing I did, I cried to God, the answer. He said, it's one way that Samson points to Jesus. My body cries out to God, God answers. He doesn't turn away in bitterness and then curse God and die. He humbles himself. And the second way, I only have 2 points here, the second one's going to be shorter. In his death, he crushed. Samson pushed the temple. He brought down set on the roof 3,000 Philistine lords and lordesses. And now came down to die. So his death, he killed more than in his life. He crushed the enemies of God. They're celebrating that their God, that God, had been stronger than Israel's God. Jesus, when he died, he was rejected, beaten, put up for public display. He conquered death, conquered the enemy of God's people. He conquered death for all time. Just like Samson. When you cry out, when you cry out to God for mercy, you're rock bottom himself. Lord, I want your forgiveness. I want your grace. That destroys lies. You can testify to that and destroy the lies that you have to earn your way to heaven. Destroy lies that God wants to deprive us of something good. Right? That's how Satan first deceived Adam and Eve. Destroys lies that I have to pay, I have to earn God's favor. So it's a crying picture. Samson humbled himself, asked God, remember me, brought down, killed the enemies of God. When Jesus died, apparent defeat, it was a great picture. He paid for our sin. He destroyed the enemy. When you and I testify to that, it's a crying picture. It's a courageous, faithful crying picture. Samson was definitely the most flawed of all the judges. He was also the most alone, the most surrounded by apathy and idolatry. Nobody was helping. He struggled against sin. He finally gave in to his sexual desires. He gave in to his pride, dealing with danger, doing it all on his own. Then he turned and humbled himself. Before God. The narrative begins with the strong man who's revealed to be weak, but it ends with the weak man who is stronger than ever he was before. So God is stamping that testimony deep into Israel's identity. They have forgotten the testimony. So he's making it real clear. This is who you are. You're helpless without me. I am your Savior, I am your Redeemer, and I love you. One of the paradoxes of the Christian life is that we become weak to become strong. Only those who admit they are filthy, full of pride, we're the only ones who can receive the righteousness of Christ. Jesus said, I'm coming for the health of the people sick. Only those who are ready to lose face in the eyes of the world receive honor as one of God's children. Blessed are the poor in spirit. There is the kingdom of God. Only those who fear God, not living in the grip of boredom and despise. Only those who know their own depravity, including the temptations that took Samson down. They're the ones who know God-given inner strength. Blessed are the pure in heart. Shall see. God doesn't say blessed are the innocent in heart, but genuine, pure, transparent, not critical. People get to see God in his glory, testify his grace. So Samson prefigures Jesus' triumph at the cost of his own life. Over Jesus' victory over Satan on the cross, Jesus became weak, now strong, brought the power of Satan to nothing. The Samson's burial, his life was over, his story was done. His race was finished. Jesus, the real story just begun. It is continuing. You and I continue to testify that story. How do we testify? Boasting in our weakness. I hit rock bottom about 25 years ago. I had been very strong and powerful as an editor, both national award-winning editor, one of the best student newspapers in the country. And these are rolling his eyes, right? And I let that strength get to my head. And I became proud. And I caused a whole lot of trouble, a lot of friends. And just what everyone was doing, said, you're on your own. And I went, I got some counsel, and I got into a group of men where we could build this genuine with each other. I had to deal with some baggage, I had to deal with some rage in my life. Got into a group of men and had a good accountability, iron can sharpen iron. Slowly but surely, God strengthened me. Now I boast on me. Testify to his love, his goodness. Boast all more gladly my weakness, power of Christ, and rest upon me. So, how about here's what we want to have a breakout room discussion. We talk about boasting in our weakness. How about a question? When is it easy to rely on yourself? Not to need God. Are there great things you do in your life that don't pray for? Okay, God, I got this. I can handle this. This is wrong. That can be easy to do. Stop being thankful. Learn your life to need to rely on God's grace instead of your own strengths. Instead of what I can do. So we're going to talk about that when we get into our breakout groups after the service. Let me pray for us. Father in heaven, I want to come before you again and give you thanks. With love, with mercy, with your grace. But Lord, when we humble ourselves and we say, God, we ask you to do it. We can't do it ourselves, Lord. You will lift us up. You will strengthen us. You will fight the good fight. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters, if there's anyone in here who feels like they're in prison, feels like they can't do it, they're glad to you, they're struggling with greed or lust, pride. I ask you to say, Lord, we need your strength to keep to the narrow way of walking holiness. Lord, help us to boast in your love, not to boast in ourselves, not to make ourselves one of the Lord, we thank you for this story about Samson. Lord, I pray we can testify the way the Bible testifies about him. We can testify that it is your strength. Is your goodness. You will fill us with your spirit. Follow after you, Jesus. And we do have the courage, the compassion, Lord, to share good news. There's people who aren't interested, who don't want to hear it. We find opportunities to share with them, knowing, Lord, you can plant seeds that years down the line, 20 years down